This is Gloria Minot Presents.
And joining me right now is Harriet Getzels. Zuzanna is her latest production, and she will tell us all about that. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hi, this is Harriet.
How are you?
And I'm here with Peter Getzels. We made the film together, actually. So,
hello, good morning.
Good morning. Tell us what the film is about.
The film is a documentary about the first and only person in the world to record all the keyboard works of Bach, which he wrote for harpsichord. And what's really unique about the film is she did it while being persecuted by communists for 40 years after surviving three concentration camps as a teenager.
And we're talking about Johann Sebastian, because there's also Johann Christian and a couple of other Bachs, right?
That is correct, yes.
All right, so what made you decide to do this film, and either of you can answer.
Sure. Occasionally in the life of a filmmaker, some extraordinary story comes along that kind of grips your soul. And we were in our cutting room. We had just finished a film called Harvest of Empire about Latino immigration to the U.S., and we were talking to Frank Bogle, who had come in to discuss with us the nature of his work on corruption and wanted us to do a film about corruption. And we were discussing it and trying to turn it over and over in our minds, and we couldn't quite come up with the right story. One day he was on the way out of the office, and he turned around and he said to us, let me tell you about my cousin. And he began to tell us this story about this extraordinary woman, this woman who had survived so much, this woman who had achieved so much, given the odds of all the vagaries and terrible things the 20th century could possibly throw at someone. She had survived them and persevered. And right away, Harriet and I knew this is the kind of story that kind of gets into your bones, and we really had to tell it. So we went off to do, at that point, Susanna was 87, and we went off to Prague to do just the master interview because we didn't have the funding for the whole film, and we were completely taken and overwhelmed by her story.
And it's fair to say that no matter what the conditions are, war, famine, plague, whatever it is, music survives.
Yes, and that's what was so inspiring about Susanna, is that she had this grip on something in her inner spirit that no matter what hit her, she never forgot how much the music meant to her. No matter what chaos was in her life, three concentration camps as a teenager, she still held on to Bach and everything she remembered about his music. And it gave her a higher purpose, and she describes it as a higher order out there in the universe that Bach connected with, and she therefore connected with.
And you would agree that the film is about spiritual and cultural resistance to tyranny, wouldn't you?
The film is definitely about spiritual and cultural resistance to tyranny, and when we started the film, we thought we were doing history a bit. And what we discovered in the 3 years that we were producing it, going back and forth to the Czech Republic, was, in fact, we were doing a film about modern times, because we now have in the Western world the rise of tyrannical ideas and desires. And so it made the film resonate for today as much as it had resonated for history.
And when we talk about the rise of tyranny, we can look inward, we can look outward to Germany, to Austria, to England, to different places around the world where the far right is once again resurgent. You said that Susanna went to three concentration camps. What were they? Which camps were these?
Well, she was transported to Terezin outside of Prague. That was the first place that her family went. Terezin was unique because it was a collection of Europe's great artists, performing artists, writers, poets, musicians. Many people brought instruments with them instead of food and warm clothing. And she was there for about a year and a half. And at Terezin, all the artists got together and they performed. And as she says in the film, the Nazis really didn't care because they knew they were doomed anyways. And from there, she was transported to Auschwitz. In Auschwitz, by then her father had died in Terezin for lack of medical care for an illness he had. In Auschwitz, obviously, the conditions were 100 times worse than Terezin, which was already extremely bad. And she should have been, frankly, gassed at Auschwitz. They even had a date, but it turned out that that date was D-Day, and she was saved. They were in too much chaos. The concentration camp commandantes were in too much chaos that day to gas anybody, and she got shipped off to Hamburg to do slave labor. And from there, Germany decided they were losing the war, and they sent everybody off to Bergen-Belsen. So she was on the worst of the worst.
The final transport to Bergen-Belsen was the expectation that that was the end, and they just expected everyone to die in Bergen-Belsen. And one thing to underscore is that throughout her trials and throughout this period, she maintains that really what allowed her to survive were 100 miracles. She said that it was this strange happenstance of things that would drag her down and then something would happen. And there's no logic to it. There's no sort of underlying meaning to it. But yet she said that having some sort of sense of meaning and purpose, having some kind of resonant with some greater force, some meaning in her life, really in a way allowed her to survive and let these miracles unfold around her that actually spelled her survival.
Her father said that don't hate, leave the revenge to God. What did he mean by that?
To me, that was one of the more poignant and powerful moments in some of the discussions we had with her. This notion, the whole quote is that she said, you know, that don't hate. Hate is something that will poison your soul. Leave the revenge to God. And I think that was the point, that hate is just a poison. Hate will not gain anything. The best way you can survive, the best way you can get some kind of, quote, revenge, is to survive and to make something very meaningful of your life and to be able to reach people in a way that connects them to some greater sense of order. And for her, it was this resistance to the tyranny all around her. Being consumed by hate would just draw you into a sort of endless vortex of meaninglessness. And for her, life never, never reached that point. Well, I shouldn't say that. She did go through huge depression, of course, after the war, survivor's guilt and all. But she always had her music to bring her back out of it. And she always had these words of her father in her mind, she said, that really sustained her.
Finally, what did she contribute to the music world of Bach?
Well, actually, it still isn't fully measured insofar as she was behind the Iron Curtain for 40 years. She was asked to record the Goldenberg variations after winning many awards across Europe. The Communist Party of Czechoslovakia would send her to compete because she proved to be so talented after recovering from her war experiences. And it was as if they had an Olympic athlete who was bringing in foreign currency. It really worked at the same scale for them. And so she was a very valuable asset to Czechoslovakia, very prestigious. And so within the realm of wherever there were harpsichords in the world, she was sent to perform, not so much in the United States, but in all the other countries. She did play in Washington, D.C. at the Kennedy Center once, I believe. But she played with the greatest of her generation. She was recorded with the greatest of her generation, hundreds of recordings, hundreds of performances. She was then asked to do the entire keyboard works of Bach, J.S. Bach, which he wrote for harpsichord, and she was sent to Paris periodically over 10 years' time for very brief visits in recording studios. And that was just re-released by Warner Music in a 20-CD box set. And that's been selling out, certainly in Europe. They've reissued it a few times. And so it's still not yet fully calculated, because now that we've made this film, now that she has an identity that people can access quite easily through the film, people who are not in the music world are beginning to understand what her contribution was. And as a result of our film, her memoirs, she was working on her memoirs before she died, and that's being completed by Bloomsbury for worldwide sales in 2019. So that, too, is going to increase her presence beyond the music world.
All right. Thank you so much, Peter. and Harriet Getzels. And thank you both for being my guest.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Gloria.
You so much. Appreciate
it. All right. Bye-bye. Take care.